Welcome back to Awakened Exchanges. I'm your host, Jay Rich, and we've got the final Disclosure Month episode coming your way this week. And just so you're aware, I've got some plans over the next couple of weeks. On top of getting ready for the Hemp Fest event that we're sponsoring on July 17th and 18th, so I can't guarantee that we'll have new episodes ready each week in July. That said, I'm going to keep doing my best, and I want to thank you again for joining us here on The Exchange. Please remember that if you have any suggestions for topics or guests, I do listen to the listeners, so you can email me from our website or contact me on Twitter at Awaken Exchanges. I hope you're as excited for this week's topic as I am, even if the report itself was a little disappointing. This week's episode is probably going to be a short one, in part because we're in the middle of an unprecedented heat wave, so forgive any fan or AC noise that you may hear, but also I had held off putting together much of an episode as I was anticipating having to read a 200-plus page disclosure report. How'd that turn out? Well, I thought it was interesting that instead of releasing it right away on Friday, they waited so long into the day that it got released right after Derek Chauvin got sentenced to 22 and a half years. The sentencing was rightfully making headlines right as the Pentagon decided to release the nine, yes, that's correct, you heard me, nine page report. I could probably read the whole thing on air, but anyone listening would just fall asleep, God forbid, while driving. So with that in mind, I'm going to try and keep this week's intro brief and get right into the disclosure report. However, before we fully get into the show, here's a brief rundown of our sponsors. First off, I want to thank all of you personally for your support. Just listening and sharing this podcast with your friends gives me a reason to keep providing the best content that I can. If you have the means and would like to contribute personally, please take a look at our Patreon page where you will get access to exclusive content and deals. As for our other sponsors, Awaken Vapes was the first of the Awaken brands and has been helping you modulate your high with CBD-only, high-terpene vape products since 2019. Genesis Farms has been making the highest quality medicinal RSO, among many other fantastic products, starting with the medical community back before 2010. And last but definitely not least, the Carmel Corn Company, bringing you caramel corn the way it was meant to be. And remember, if you enjoy this podcast, please follow us on Spotify, subscribe to us on YouTube, or follow us wherever else you're listening. And if you can, please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I know every podcast says that, but it's because it really does help spread the word. You can also support us on Patreon or connect with us on the social media of your choice. We are at Awakened Exchanges on Facebook and Instagram, and at Awaken Exchanges on Twitter. All right, now stay tuned, and thank you for listening to Awakened Exchanges. Genesis Farms was founded on the belief in cannabis's ability to heal. Genesis Farms is more than a brand. They're a compassionate community of like-minded individuals that generate top-quality cannabis products made with love and care. Community outreach is always on their mind, and their partnerships with Grow for Vets and Parents for Pot was just the beginning to what they hope to accomplish in the coming years. You can find their products on the best dispensary shelves across the state of Oregon. Their RSO is the most consistent quality in the state. Their tinctures are second to none, and their personal massage oil will have you and your partner both coming back for more. Find them on Facebook and Instagram and ask for them in your local dispensary today. Don't forget to listen to Sean's interview here on Awakened Exchanges. It's episode number 3. The Carmel Corn Company is bringing you caramel corn the way it was meant to be. Made with premium ingredients in small, handcrafted batches and completely gluten-free. The flavors include original, roasted cashew, salted almond, mixed nut, spicy sriracha, white morsel macadamia, peanut butter, butterscotch, and my personal favorites, chocolate drizzle and raspberry caramel apple. I can't say enough about how delicious this caramel corn is. It makes a great gift any time of the year. You can find them on sale in Portland area market of choice locations and online again here real soon. Visit CarmelCornCompany.com for more information today. Remember, buying local supports small businesses and keeps your money building your community. And last but not least, Awaken Vapes has been bringing you some of the highest quality CBD vape cartridges since ringing in the new year in 2019. I became passionate about cannabis after a car wreck left me with major migraines, and no prescribed pills helped alleviate any of the symptoms. Having only tried cannabis a handful of times in high school and college, it was a doctor's recommendation that led me to give cannabis another try. Only then did I realize that we'd all been at least a little misled about the health benefits of this amazing plant. Despite the unexpected break because of the vape ban and then a global health crisis, the business is stronger than ever, and we invite you to check out our updated website today. We are still offering our three varieties with new improved terpene formulations and enhanced flavor to go along with the custom blended terpene effect profiles. Check back at awakenvapes.com for any updates. You can always email us about wholesaling or white labeling opportunities as well. Welcome back to Awakened Exchanges. I'm your host, Jay Rich, and this week we'll be discussing the long-awaited U.S. intelligence report on unidentified aerial phenomenon, better known as UAPs, while being even better known as UFOs. The government has had to rename them because they had denigrated them and their observers for so long that even they couldn't overcome the bias associated with the term UFO. Real quickly, in the show notes, I'm going to be including the links to the New York Times and New Yorker articles that I'll be referencing during the show. And now that that's out of the way, let's talk about the fact that we got this report thanks to Senator Marco Rubio, a Republican out of Florida, who tacked the provision onto a spending bill in December. Sadly, instead of getting hundreds of pages of detailed information, we got a grand total of 9 pages of inconclusive bullshit. In the end, they would neither confirm nor deny if any of the episodes were because of classified craft, and said that there were no clear indications that there is any non-terrestrial explanation for the sightings. Yeah, they're saying they can't prove it's aliens. But who is the they, I guess. So there's more to this. Let's go ahead and talk about the fact that Senator Rubio at least commented that this report is an important first step in cataloging these incidents, but it is just a first step. The Defense Department and intelligence community have a lot of work to do before we can actually understand whether these aerial threats present a serious national security concern. According to the New Yorker, we should keep in mind that this particular report was not, by all accounts, being assembled under the most auspicious circumstances. The they for this report? Well, it's two people, reportedly working part-time, that had been given only 180 days to determine what exactly the federal government did and did not know about UFOs. In the end, they said that their focus going forward would be on observing the phenomena versus trying to establish contact with the objects. The end result of this report? They're going to develop procedures for tracking and analyzing the reports of these UAPs. Maybe they'll actually recruit some real scientists to spend their time studying the phenomena instead of threatening to ridicule them out of a career if they tried to proceed down that alley, which seems to be how we handled the subject pretty much since the 50s. The New Yorker reported that under scrutiny were a total of 144 sightings, all of them taken from military aviators or other, quote, reliable government sources and systems. The earliest incident, dated to 2004, which was almost certainly the Nimitz encounter, in which multiple Navy pilots saw a tic-tac-shaped object flying off the coast of Baja, California. But the majority of the cases had occurred in only the last 2 years. Basically, since the Navy updated the standard reporting mechanisms for UAPs, the Air Force followed suit last November with a pilot program for spooked pilots. Of this total, only one case could be conclusively explained away as a large deflating balloon. The remaining reports included 80 that involved observation with multiple sensors. i.e. some combination of eyewitness testimony, radar returns, infrared indications, or other electro-optical sources. Even more strangely, 18 of the incidents involved unusual UAP movement patterns or flight characteristics. The varieties of inexplicable maneuverability that have distinguished UFO sightings for decades. It remained unclear whether these made up a subset of those caught by multiple sensors, or if all of these more dramatic cases were uncorroborated eyewitness accounts. The New York Times made it even more clear. 143 of 144 confirmed reports since 2004 remain unexplained. 21 of those reports, coming from 18 separate incidents, absolutely demonstrated capabilities that were unknown to the United States. Those capabilities include objects moving without observable propulsion, or moving with rapid acceleration that is believed to be beyond the capabilities of Russia, China, or other terrestrial nations, though they say more rigorous analysis of those episodes is needed. The report also pointed out that in a small number of these sightings, American aircraft processed radio frequency energy coming from the devices, which could be a sign of radar jamming, and there seemed to be a degree of signature management. But let's step back and listen to that quote real quick. Beyond the capabilities of any terrestrial nation. Does that not imply some sort of alien or interdimensional beings of some sort? I couldn't think of another explanation. And after a whopping 9 pages, what does the report conclude? Basically that there is nothing to conclude, blaming a limited and inconsistent data set that created challenges in evaluating the phenomena. Why do the sightings admittedly cluster around military training or testing grounds? The report cites possible collection bias or the presence of cutting-edge sensors in those areas. Don't worry, though. Instead of using all of the black funds, now they want to take billions of acknowledged tax dollars to create a more in-depth program to study what they're still not truthfully sharing with us. Well, one section, heading, set in bold and underline, reads that UAP probably lack a single explanation. From there, the report also laid out 5 possible categories for explanations. The first, secret technology developed by an adversarial power like Russia or China. Then, classified, cutting-edge American technology. Thirdly, a naturally occurring phenomenon. Fourth was airborne clutter, such as errant weather balloons. And remember, of all of the episodes examined by the report, only one could be identified and actually categorized, and that was a large deflating balloon that falls into that category. But the last category, other. That's apparently their catch-all category that's supposed to also be able to include extraterrestrial technology. So 143 others with no explanation. The report was consistent in its use of UAP over UFO, trying to destigmatize and rebrand the phenomena, but people are still hesitant to talk about the subject, thinking that if you're interested in it, you must be proclaiming alien contact. The New Yorker put it best, saying that cutting through the thicket of bureaucratic language and cautious qualifications, readers of the report are left with basically 2 options. That some of the UAPs could actually be advanced drones or drone swarms, one of the more compelling explanations for at least some of the fraction of these encounters, and unavoidably, other. When it came to the other category, some of the observed behaviors were so dramatically exotic that they required not only additional study and additional analysis, but perhaps additional physics. A quote from the report, although most of the UAP described in our data set probably remain unidentified due to limited data or challenges to collection, processing, or analysis, we may require additional scientific knowledge to successfully collect on, analyze, and characterize some of them. We would group such objects in this category pending scientific advances that allowed us to better understand them. The UAP Task Force intends to focus additional analysis on the small number of cases where UAP appeared to display unusual flight characteristics or signature management. The fact that there are 18 cases in recent memory that apparently require unspecified scientific advances to comprehend seems to suggest that the other category might not, after all, be a negligible bin. On the other hand, the report does note up front that these observations could be the result of sensor errors, spoofing, or observer misperception. A debunker known as Mick West, who has offered a range of mundane explanations for what pass as purported UFOs, tweeted that this line was a key part of the report and that it was intended to invalidate the claims of the more enthusiastic promoters of the extraterrestrial hypothesis. Believers reminded him, often politely, that could be did not mean were, and that one would be hard-pressed to read such boilerplate disclaimers as dispositive statement about anything. It could be observer bias. It could be sensor manipulation. It could be misperceptions. But they were unable to actually confirm any of those things on a single one of the 143 cases that were unidentified. Now, with that in mind, let's take a look at a recent blog post from Christopher K. Mellon, a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence, who wrote, "Don't dismiss the alien hypothesis." I've included a link to the blog in the show notes, and in that blog, Mellon writes, "The United States has the most advanced aerospace capabilities of any country and spends more than twice as much on defense as Russia and China combined. The administration and Congress concur that these objects are not classified U.S. aircraft. In the Nimitz incident and other cases, some of these vehicles have been observed doing things that we cannot replicate and do not understand. Official records from the U.S. and other countries indicate that this is a global phenomenon that has been occurring since at least World War II, and perhaps far longer. We have no reason to believe that many of these objects are from Russia or China, and in fact it seems improbable, especially when we consider how long this phenomenon has been observed. Consequently, the not invented here hypothesis is the only theory currently consistent with the known facts. From any vantage point, we are more likely to encounter probes than signals from ET because probes are far safer, more efficient, and more effective for purposes of space exploration." He then goes on to conclude that someone at a high level urgently needs to be assigned responsibility to find out where these objects are coming from, how they work, and why they are here. Engineering and scientific efforts to replicate these observed capabilities also require a high priority. We can no longer deny that someone has mastered technology beyond our understanding and is using it to monitor U.S. military forces and probably much else. In some cases, such as the famous encounters of the Nimitz Carrier Strike Group, non-human origin is presently the theory that best fits all the facts. Until a better explanation emerges, it is time to squarely confront the data and accord this revolutionary discovery the attention it deserves. Regardless of the source, we need a serious national effort to understand and emulate the capabilities we are observing. Regardless of the origin of these craft, the stakes could not be higher. Ignorance is not a national security strategy, and we have never before been a nation deterred by fear of the unknown. The benefits that might result could include massive technological breakthroughs and revolutionary advances and insights that might otherwise take eons to acquire. The only responsible course of action is to proceed expeditiously with open minds, perhaps jointly with other nations to make faster progress and mitigate growing international tensions and rivalries. How can we turn aside knowing what we know now? There really there is really no choice other than to press forward in pursuit of the truth with the hope and expectation that the new frontiers of knowledge will be discovered for our nation and hopefully for the benefit of all mankind. And remember, that's coming from the former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence. Another name making the rounds lately is Luis Elizondo, or Lou Elizondo, who ran the secret Pentagon program from 2010 through his resignation in 2017. And he recently told a Canadian podcaster that if the public had access to all of the classified information, the mood would be somber. Some people, he added, would turn to religion for consolation. Maybe that's an indication of his own religious proclivities, but I personally don't think that the existence of alien life changes anything as far as religion is concerned. We're getting into some speculation real quick, but let's consider that religion has always been shaped by man. Despite people wanting to believe that it came from the literal word of God, men have edited and shaped the stories that have been passed down. Why is it so hard to believe that the initial accounts could very well have been guided by some source or universal consciousness without having to take things as word-for-word truths? We are a species of storytellers that learn through stories, so why wouldn't we put these important truths through a story form so that they could be easier to pass down and extract meaning from? Couldn't angels or demons be a way of describing an alien or interdimensional being? If you think of it in terms of dimensionality, then we would be considered third or fourth dimensional beings if you include time, while a lot of the math says that we need 10 or more dimensions to properly consider everything in our universe. Maybe there are just things that we don't understand. Maybe the source comes from that highest dimension of unity, and maybe some of these UAPs come from other dimensions in between ours and the unity or the source. And this isn't even taking into account the multiverse hypothesis, so I don't know. I find it fascinating, but I feel it would be better served by a conversation rather than my own personal ramblings. So with that in mind, maybe one of the listeners would like to discuss this with me sometime. I definitely look forward to further exchanges on this topic. I wish I had more to share, but the report was a little lackluster. I hope that the length of the report doesn't discourage further study, but rather starts some discussions going forward. Thank you again for joining me on this brief episode of Awakened Exchanges. Thank you again for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode of The Exchange as much as I did. I was hoping for more upfront disclosure, but at least people may consider the question now. I hope that it leads us to more disclosure, though I think we're going to need some real whistleblowers to step up and speak out. And in that case, who do you trust? I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens during this interesting time we're living in. Now, I want to give a special thanks to all of our listeners. You are the reason I'm doing this. Please tell your friends about us, follow us on Spotify, subscribe on YouTube, or wherever else you're listening. And please leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Every podcast says that because it really does help with visibility. You can also support us on Patreon or connect with us on the social media of your choice. We are at Awakened Exchanges on Facebook and Instagram, and at Awaken Exchanges on Twitter. Thanks again. Have a blessed day.